of food or drink first for his mother. Struck down while still so young, now for his grandmother. He peeked in at her sleeping form. She lay in her bed, head propped up on pillows, coverlet tucked neatly around her. He wrinkled his nose at the smell of age and illness. She'd become so frail over the past months, so thin, not much more than skin and bones, and weak, hardly able to lift her head, unable to fight him off. He frowned. Now why had he thought that? He loved his grandmother. He owed her his life. When his mother had passed, she'd sacrificed everything to raise him. For these past 22 years, she had supported and guided him. She had believed in him, in who he was, and who he was meant to be. He shook his head, clearing it. He had told her about Mary's return. They'd argued. She'd said terrible things about Mary, ugly, hateful things. Each word had pierced his heart. But in this, his love for Mary, he would not be swayed. He crossed to the bed. The jagged moonlight fell across her torso and onto him. He lifted his hands into the light, spreading his fingers. Blood staining his hands. The blood of the lamb, splattering on impact. "You're troubled." He blinked at the clearly spoken words. He looked behind him at the empty room, then down at his sleeping grandmother.
"Who's there?"
he asked. "You know me. I am the one who's always with you."
"Father," he whispered, "is it you?"
"Yes, my son. What troubles you tonight?" "It has begun. You should rejoice and fear not, for through the Father, the Son will be glorified."
"One of your holy ones, Father. I had to. He came upon me so suddenly."
"A martyr. He will be remembered, sanctified for his role on this day of new beginning." At his father's words, certainty washed over him, renewed purpose and peace.
"Yes, Father. It is indeed the day you foretold and the one I have awaited. I'm in your hands, Father."
He bowed his head.
"I am your servant. Direct me."
"Leave the old one now. Remember, only one can stand beside you."
"Mary."
"Yes. Her moment is coming as well." He eased one of the bed pillows from behind his grandmother's head. He gazed down at her, drinking in her face, emotion swamping him. What would he do without her? Tears stinging his eyes, he plumped the pillow and bent and carefully replaced it, cautious not to awaken her. He pressed a kiss to her forehead.
"Good night, Grandma. Sleep well."
Chapter 2. Tuesday, August 9th, 8:35 a.m. Homicide Detective Spencer Malone angled his vintage cherry red Camaro into the spot between the coroner's wagon and crime scene van, stopping sharply. Coffee sloshed over the rim of his partner's coffee cup and onto his paisley shirt.
"Crap, that's hot! Drive much, Malone?"
Detective Tony Chimay blotted the spot with the back of his tie.
"And here I wanted to look good for my party."
Malone cut the engine and shot a grin his way.
"No worries, Tony. It blends right in."
He and Tony had been partners for better than 6 years. Their partnership worked, despite the differences in their ages, investigative styles, and, thank God, fashion sense. Had worked. Today was Tony's last day on the force.
"Was that a shot?" "Hell no, partner. Just a fact."
Spencer slung open his door, then looked back at Tony.
"You're still going to look real pretty for your party." "Kiss my ass, Malone."
They climbed out of the Camaro, slamming their doors in unison. A couple of uniformed officers looked their way. Located on Carrollton Avenue at Fig Street, Sisters of Mercy Catholic School and Church straddled two distinctly different areas of the city, uptown and mid-city. Unfortunately, as the years had passed, the affluent had begun moving farther uptown, leaving Sisters of Mercy to the middle class and the working poor. Still, it was a beautiful campus, occupying a massive amount of land for an urban location. Its buildings, with their stone construction and barrel